Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the IB Sports NFL Breakdown Show. This week we are doing the wide receivers. I am the commish, R.C. Carlton, and as always, I am joined by Actively Lazy, Alan Sandage. Look at that. I got it right.
It only took 6 years.
Yeah, well, you know. We learn and we grow. When we know better, we do better.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's what they say.
That is what they say, right? All right, so let's break it down straight up. I'm very surprised because I think people get bored of whoever the consensus is. Like with Caleb Williams, people get bored. So they start looking at other people. And I think they've gotten bored with Marvin Harrison Jr.
I ain't seen not one person say Marvin Harrison should be a fourth round grade or none of that craziness that I saw with Caleb Williams. Well, nobody cares that he cares about
he's more dynamic slash flamboyant. But I do think there's a clear delineation between Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers.
Bro, you're not at school. A clear what?
I teach 8th grade, so I can't like
a clear delineation. You say today, no wonder them students hate you.
You know what? I don't say I'll break it down. You know what I've decided to do? I said I can't make myself small for other people. I realized for the last 10 years I've been dumbing myself down with my language. And I was like, I just got to be me, man. I can't dumb myself down for these
people.
But
when you say things like delineation,
Maya Angelou quote somewhere.
Yeah, but when people don't understand what you're saying, they're trained now to take that as an insult.
No, they
call,
just need
who
to
you
look
calling
at
a delineation? That's what you're getting from these eighth graders.
They need to consult their lexicons. They need to consult their lexicons, and they will find it out. That's how I learned words. I didn't know what the word meant. I looked it up. So, in layman's terms, do you think it's reasonable to have them on the same tier, or do you clearly see a difference in a different tier between the two?
Between Marvin Harrison and Caleb.
And no, Malik.
Malik and Caleb. Oh, Malik and Marvin. Yeah. So, yeah, I do. I think, even in my notes, I have no limitations for Marvin Harrison. His size, 6'4", 205, is obviously a distinct advantage over Nabers, who's 6 foot, 195, according to the reports. Harrison's ability to run the ball out the backfield was something that he displayed over the last year or so. Makes him versatile. Mm-hmm. The ability to move him around, he to me covered more of the route tree than Nabers, and I just think if you're looking for a complete receiver, like a complete receiver, if we had five attributes for wide receiver, Marvin Harrison is going to grade top three in all five. I don't think you can say that about Nabers, and that's what was the distinction for me. That's why I put Harrison a level above.
I think with me too, and again, I think people get bored, and you can obviously see some of the explosive traits for Nabers. But those, as a receiver, even as athletic as he is, as explosive as he is, those traits that he has, which are amazing, they're not as consistent as just being a smooth route runner. He's the perfect receiver. If you want to look up every trait that you have in a receiver, is Marvin Harrison Jr. He's smooth. He gets out of breaks. There's nothing that he doesn't do well. You could try to say, oh, he doesn't have the speed, but he's a long strider. So he does have the speed. He can get down the field on anybody and then stack them. Then based on his technique, he's got the hands. He's got separation. You cannot stop him. So even if he had a bad quarterback, I still think he had like 80 catches. I don't see a scenario in which he could be bad.
Yeah, and there's one thing that we should say before we go over the list. The position of wide receiver, there is no such thing as a can't-miss wide receiver because you can find different parts of different players to make up for Marvin Harrison. Like, you don't have to reach for a wide receiver. When we talk about quarterback or edge rushers, things like that, like really key positions, there's a huge distinction between getting a can't-miss quarterback and a can't-miss edge rusher over trying to plug and play a quarterback or edge rusher. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Marvin Harrison's great and all, but I stand by this. You don't need to draft him top three. You really don't. Like, and if you are drafting him top three, I really think you're doing your franchise a disservice. You could trade out that pick, make somebody take a quarterback or a tackle, and you'll still get Marvin Harrison around 4 or 5. I know that might not seem like a lot to people, but again, you can get more out of a top three pick and go him down to get the receiver rather than, like, you're not going to – I don't think you're going to be held to the fire if you miss Marvin Harrison, air quotes.
I think that's a really big risk. I mean, but if you have a chance to get a generational receiver, if you have a chance to get a Randy Moss, a Jerry Rice, a Marvin Harrison Sr., or whatever – even though maybe his production is generational. But if you have the chance to get those kind of guys, Julio Jones, whatever, Hopkins, just like a guy that you know has a chance to go to the Hall of Fame and you can anticipate that, I don't think you can replace that. Now, if you're talking about Neighbors or Dunze, then yeah. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like
you generational, can... I think. I would pick him one, but...
Yeah.
And honestly, I'd pick him top five. At three, I'd start because I don't believe in the next quarterback. But at three, I would start considering him. I know what you're saying, but if somebody gave me an overwhelming haul, sure. But I always go for players and not picks.
I wouldn't go outside of six. I think obviously that's too far. But if I was like the Patriots, if you feel like you got your quarterback, then yes, take him. But if I'm looking to get a quarterback in the top three, and it's nothing against him. I just think we have to really – we can't devalue the importance of a potential franchise quarterback. Because do we talk about franchise wide receivers? Is that even a term that we use?
No, but, I mean, yeah. They get paid like it. I don't know what you want to call it. What they say, a true number one receiver. That's kind of what they're saying.
Okay. I'm just trying to have the conversation. I'm not trying to start a debate. And very well come end of the month, and we start talking in real time. I'm gonna be tripping.
Somebody had to say something. We've already started, sir.
Yeah, leave the cushions alone. It's a throwaway couch, man. We just haven't had a chance to throw it away and replace it. Plus, somebody was just laying on the cushions.
And that's this is why he blurs his background.
I know, man. Dang.
This is what a background is. Fat people, man.
I really do usually fluff them before we go on, but somebody was like, I'm not
going to say. And you want to say pause to me. Yeah. You want to tell me pause. You fluff
but
them.
But I'm not going to say who was laying on them. But anyway.
No Diddy.
Thanks for calling that out.
We both agree on that. Rome and Dunze.
He's your number two?
Well, I just said Harrison and Neighbors basically were. Nick, do you have somebody different for two?
Oh, no. That's fine. I got
it. Okay, yeah. Because I was comparing them, so that's like one and two. I thought we could just kind of go through them. And we could kind of say where we got them, because I don't necessarily know. It's hard for me to know where to put them.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
You know, I can't. Or we can just go through yours, or we can just go one by one, you know? I would have three. I don't break down to a four. I have Roman Dunze. Like, I really, really liked him. But I missed on Quentin Johnson last year. Even though they're not that similar, but they kind of are. Dunze is more refined than Quentin Johnson is. But I like big receivers. And that's my bias. I like Keyshawn. I like Michael Irvin. Yeah. Megatron. Julio.
I like those guys. Hold on. Now, let's have this conversation.
They're all big.
You said Keyshawn. And who else you say?
Michael Irvin. Megatron and one of those
things. One of those things is not like the other.
Keyshawn's not a Hall of Famer, but just as tough. I'm saying the evolution of the big receivers. Even though I probably like Michael Irvin before I like Keyshawn. So I like them. So I like what he can do. I like guys that can just go up and catch the ball and yank it from people and run down the seam and destroy people after the catch. So I really like that, but I do think that his ceiling is not as high. Well, I won't say that. It'll be harder for him to reach his ceiling than the other two because of the athletic traits that they have. And I think it's harder to win. Like, remember when, and he does kind of remind me of Dez now that I say that, but remember when Dez and then Dak came?
Yeah, Dez was nice. And I'm not saying this to you, but like, I know a lot of people like to trash him because he was a cowboy.
Well, you know, the crazy cowboy. Cowboy derangement syndrome
people. And he was,
but yeah, he was nice.
And he was but limited when, on his route tree.
Yeah, he was. But yeah. When Dak was there, he wasn't comfortable with the contested catches thing like Romo was. So depending on and DeAndre Hopkins also, which kind of has a similarity to Rome, you have to have a quarterback that's willing to trust you. He's a contested catch monster. And I don't think that'll be a problem at the next level. You know, sometimes that's a red flag if that's the best thing you do, which I don't think that is the best thing he does. But I just think that he will fit into less systems than the other two. And I, but he's my favorite of all the receivers, my personal favorite.
So I have best 50-50 guy on there is like the first note that I have with him, which is true. You say you like big receivers. I like big receivers too. And that's why I took Xavier Leggett.
Wow.
He's bigger than Rome. He's faster than Rome.
Project. He's got he's one year. Rome.
He's a project, but he's built like a prototype. So
yeah, and that something could work with.
Yeah, if we like AJ Brown, why do we not like Xavier Leggett? They're the same body type. They're the same kind of style of play.
He reminds me of DK, even though nobody has the body type of DK, but like he played, but who he actually reminds me of is Chenault from Colorado. I think he went to Jacksonville. He was just like a physical monster that was very limited as a receiver. And he had, it's like less something Chenault. And he never developed, or so far hasn't developed. And I can't fault someone for taking Leggett because he's just so massively overwhelming physically. And it'll obviously translate better than Keon Coleman, even though we hadn't gone there yet. But what do you like about him? What do you like about Leggett?
Just his yards after the catch and ability to deliver blows when he gets the ball. Like, he's not shying from contact. He's just a monster. Somebody just said he reminds him of Andre Johnson. I agree, man. I just think he has that kind of ability, man. But it's really the physical aspect. Like, he ran really fast. He's 6'3", he's 227 pounds. And in today's NFL, where people are getting more and more creative with how they use these playmakers at receiver, I think he has a future, a bright future, in a system that is willing to utilize all those skill sets, mainly the physicality and the yards after the catch. I don't want him lining up in the backfield like a Cordell Patterson, but hey, who knows? Maybe that's an opportunity for that. And I also wanted to challenge your Rome Odunze comp with I saw a lot of Larry Fitzgerald in the route running.
That's not bad either. That's
very precise. Very precise. And the 50-50, something a lot of people don't harp on with Larry Fitzgerald. Them hands were sure, and he was a good 50-50 guy if he had to get it.
Yeah, Odunze. What's he saying? Odunze or Xavier?
I think he's talking about Xavier with the T.O. vibes.
Yeah. T.O., Dez. Like, a poor, to me, like, somewhere in between where Megatron and Julio and Michael Irvin. Because Michael Irvin was, like, not explosive. I mean, not, like, that explosive, but still very athletic. But somewhere in between that kind of athleticism, not saying he'll have those careers. And then Leggett, I just don't know, man. I don't like a late bloomer. I mean,
you don't know about anybody.
Oh, and, come on. Unknown on the tape.
Late blooming, I guess this is a terrible cross-reference, but Joe Burrow was a late bloomer. Like, yeah, I mean, sometimes these guys, it depends on their coaching. Sometimes it takes that long to get it. I mean, we just talked about T.O. Like, he was probably –
Leggett didn't late bloom into damn Marvin Harrison, though. He bloomed to get on the map. You know what I'm saying?
He late bloomed like a DK Metcalf.
yeah. Who was very raw. And also, we can go on and on about fits, but it really, outside of Marvin Harrison, maybe Neighbors, maybe Odunze, like, the fit for the rest of these guys is going to be crucial. So if he goes somewhere where they say, hey, like DK Metcalf, everything in breaking, flies, crosses, overs, post, that's all you run, kid. But if you try to make him be something that he's not, then it's not going to work. So it's all about fit and system and knowing how, like, I don't understand why these freaks, when I say freaks, somebody that's super athletic like this, but not refined. I don't know what makes that work or doesn't work. Cause it sometimes it's like, oh, this is obvious. And then sometimes like, oh, he's just an athlete and he doesn't have any refined skill. So, but what you were saying, he ran a 4.39, a 40 inch vertical, 10.6 broad jump. So this is a man. This is a man. So I do, but I don't think, I definitely wouldn't have him in my top five. But I do respect the ability.
Now, I've only used the term, hold on, I've only used the term manimal for Anquan Boldin when it comes to receivers. I didn't even say that about DK when he came out. So I'm just saying, like, there was obviously something there for me. This is where I get off the podcast here. Jeff is actually watching, and you're going to trigger all our little Texas fans and stuff. I don't want to talk about this crap. Get this toothpick out of here.
But no, I'm okay, though. I'm on your side, Jeff. I love my second favorite receiver. And I didn't think so because the combine, like the speed racers, like I'm impressed by speed, but that doesn't necessarily translate into play. But Xavier Worthy is DeSean Jackson reincarnated. I loved every second of it. He's so quick. He's like a joystick. He can run routes. The only thing I saw, which is obvious, is his size. And if it wasn't for it, it reminds me, it could be Brandon Cooks, like 2.0, maybe upgraded Brandon Cooks, who's had a great career, even though, well, not great, but he's had a very good career.
It was okay. It was okay.
He's in the system that doesn't bring it. A solid dude, a solid two for his whole career. That's good. If you drafted him, you got the most out of him. Everybody trades for him for some reason. But low end is Brandon Cooks. High end is DeSean Jackson.
Exactly. So I said that when I seen his combine, so the last thing I need is for Andy Reid to get this guy, because I've got a theory, and I've said this out loud and I'll say it again, that I feel like the Chiefs are going to transition back to what the Eagles were when they had DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin. Remember that system? Like, it's going to be totally different from the Kelce-fueled system because Kelce's getting older. And I don't think you're ever going to find another tight end like that unless you get Brock Bowers somehow. You're not going to find another tight end that's going to mesh with Patty like that and have that kind of ability after the catch. But if Rashee Rice wasn't out here speed racing and you paired him, because I think Rice has a Maclin aspect to him, if you paired him with the speedster that has short hands like Xavier Worthy, you could get that dynamic back and phase Kelce out slowly. And I think – with Mahomes being more mature now, that's going to make that system and that team even more dangerous. So I pray Xavier Worthy doesn't reach that DeSean Jackson threshold and that he goes to a team like, say, the 49ers who wouldn't know how to use him.
Lamar, I think that Worthy is so good. He'll be so open. It's hard to miss him. It'll be real hard to miss him. You could throw them little underneath routes and everything. And I will say this, too. This is way lofty, but I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if he was similar to Tyreek Hill. I really would not be surprised. Now, I'm not putting him that high, but it wouldn't shock me. I'm taking that to a ceiling. I'm saying he will be DeSean Jackson. He could be Brandon Cooks, but he could be Tyreek Hill. I'm very impressed with him, and I didn't think I would be, but I really was. I didn't see a weakness other than he's small. You can get physical with him, but what idiot coach would have him on the outside getting bumped?
We said that about my boy from Bama that's on the Eagles now, Smith.
Oh, yeah, Smith, yeah.
If you got one, ain't many in today's game, ain't nobody pressing nobody running a 4.2. Let's just be honest. It just can't happen. It can't. You can try. Try, but for the most part,
you don't find many people
that keep up with them. Secondly, you can move them around enough that, like, you can take advantage.
Yeah, that's the point. You can move him around. Yeah. He's a motion receiver, kind of, and he could be in the slot. But also, let me give you – I haven't done anybody's pro football-focused stable metrics. Yeah. So he has an 87 grade against single coverage. He is 83rd percentile in routes, yards per route run, separation percentage against single coverage, 73, open target percentage, 84, is that a, yeah, 84, and receiving grade versus zone, 87. So he's like a monster. You would just have to be a, if you're willing to use him, it's going to work. He's Wes Welker on steroids, or all those Patriots receivers, but rich man's, like billionaire versions of all the white guys the Patriots used to have.
Just a system that, like, is based on giving guys space. And I know I was pausing. I was just trying to think. Like Mike McDaniel's passing system is way better than ours, and he comes from the Shanahan
tree. Yeah, like if the Eagles, not the Eagles.
Same for the Dolphins had him,
yeah, they'd be killing. They'd kill it.
Same for my guy in Slowick in the Texans. His passing system has a lot of open space. That's why Tank Dell's eating. So if you, like, you throw Worthy in something like that, yeah, it's going to be a problem. He should be a day one problem. People just have to make sure they use him right.
And Tank Dell is another good example of a very slight guy. I don't see them. Like, Tank is different. Tank will break you off on a route and just make you look foolish. Worthy is much better. Not a bad route runner, but much better after the catch and just being quick. Where I feel like the stop, like, one's a joystick and one's like a car that can just hit a curve real hard, you know? But that's neither here nor there. But I think they can have the same kind of impact at their size. What number did you have Worthy at if you had him?
I have Worthy in my honorable mention because I was a homer for my fifth pick.
Who's your – did we ask for your fourth?
My fourth was Rome.
Okay, Rome. Okay.
Yeah. So listen, I had Rome at third, and I had Xavier Legette at fourth, and I ended up switching them around because I just went –
Sometimes you go with your gut, you know? Yeah. This year, I've tried not to go with my gut. We'll see how that works. I've been trying to learn from my mistakes, but guess what will happen? The league changes like that. Every 3 or 4 years, everything changes. So, you know, once upon a time, if you didn't have accuracy and you were a big, toolsy quarterback, it didn't work. Now, you're a big, toolsy quarterback, and it seems like it's working. But we'll see how that long.
We got some nonsense here in the comments, man. Get out of here, Jeff. I'm not everybody who knows me should know. I don't like slow receivers. I don't like receivers that don't have good first steps. That's why I docked Drake London infamously. Remember, I was not high on Drake London. Mm-hmm. I thought he was too slow off the ball. But Drake London has been okay. If he can get a quarterback that'll give him targets, he's proven that he's fine. Johnny Wilson's not like that.
Did you have enough people in the draft?
What did Steve Smith say? I forgot. He said something hilarious about Johnny Wilson. I have to look at it. I'll send it to you later. He said something that was just outright disrespectful, but he was making fun of how he's slow, man. It ain't going to work in today's game. Was it Treadwell? Remember him?
He was
that's
so
who
slow.
I think he reminds me
of. He ran like a 4.6.
Yeah,
it was so slow. He had no hope. So my five would be Troy Franklin. And Oregon's offense is kind of limited, so you can't see everything. Now, Bo Nix gets a bad rap. It's not all screens and streaks, but it's a lot of screens and streaks. So, or flies or goes. So you couldn't really see everything that Troy Franklin had, but I think he can do a lot more. What do you think?
Yeah, and he's got a quarterback that was not comfortable throwing when there was people around you. Which made for a lot of difficult catches, a lot of catches that were unnecessarily contested because he didn't have a Caleb Williams or somebody that knew proper ball placement. In that system for a receiver, you know, we used to typecast air raid quarterbacks. It's funny they never did that to receivers, really, because I look at that.
They maybe should have.
Yeah, because I look at that system and I'm like, well, they're only asking you to do, like, basically two things, stop or run down the field on the fly. You didn't see a whole lot of slants, digs, or any kind of real route combinations, and there's so much space to cover in that system that there's always somebody open. So it's almost like it's too easy. So it's a hard eval for Troy Franklin. But I mean, you know, like you were saying, you like some things about him. I think that's fair, you know. But I, me personally, I remember hearing and seeing a lot of people docking quarterbacks for systems over the years, and we never did that with receivers. And I feel like
this. Well, you know what? There is one place where they did it. Baylor. when people call into that Baylor crap. I was like, wait a minute.
I'd rather not talk about Artie. Let's change the subject.
Like, wait a minute. These guys suck.
You got your Marvin Lewis story. Art Briles wrote an offense basically on a napkin and got 600 rushing yards in a bowl game and beat a top 10 team with his receiver at quarterback. You want to talk about legends? That's all I'm saying. Offensive genius.
He's on the, you know, wrestling. They have certain wrestlers they don't talk about. And now you want to talk about the owner of the WWE. But you didn't talk about that man.
Dark side of college football.
Chris Bibb. I'll just say Chris Bibb. But you just don't talk about him. And Art Briles is erased from the history of college football. He is not spoken of. He has been erased. All footage. It never happened, sir. Franklin. He's really athletic. I think he could do a lot more. As you were saying, I have the routes run for Pro Football Focus.
This should be great.
10 screens, 20 slants, 4 posts, 6 outs, 3 ins, 30 hitches, 18 goes, 7 crosses, 1 corner. Yeah, he didn't run a lot of. So it was like a hit. Oh,
can I get percentages on that? Because, I mean, it sounds right. If you told me, if you just was like Troy Franklin, how many routes you think he ran? I would have said hitch. I would be like, he ran a lot of hitches, he ran a lot of stops, and he ran a lot of goes. I didn't see him much across the middle of the field, which is fine.
The only ones in double digits are go, hitch, speed. No, go, hitch, screen, slant. Only ones in double digits.
Yeah, I'm surprised about slant, actually.
Yes, no, slant is 20 slants. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, so yeah, so
comfortable throwing that.
It is what it is, but I think he has a lot of room to grow, and a lot of the fantasy football and the PFF analytics that predict based on metrics and output, he's one of the top metric guys, analytics guys in that community. What's his
measurements? How tall is he?
He is 6'1". What is he? 6'2", 176, which he's slight. He's slight.
Hey, no way. Is he really 6'2"? I feel like that's a lot.
They might have printed this before the official measurements. He looks like 6'1".
and best, I think that would matter based on where you're putting him, but.
Nah. I mean, he's not going to be an X. That is true.
It's a
deep. Some other people we didn't cut. Who's your number 5?
Keon Coleman. Yep, Keon Coleman. I can't hear you. You're muted.
I thought I hit it. That wasn't being old. That was I missed the button. Stop right now. You're a Florida State fan. I'm not going to tell you.
Dennis Moore wants to know why doesn't he go over the middle. It's their offense, bro.
Keon?
Not Keon.
Troy.
Troy. Yeah, it's just their offense.
They're stupid offense. That's all they do is run hitches, screens, or goes. That's just Oregon's offense for the most part, unless Knicks went out the pocket and started doing stuff. But that was just the offense. Some offenses are like that. And when you kind of go no huddle or you can go tempo, you could dictate matchups like that.
And I bet you if we looked at some of the Washington folks, that offense is similar. It would probably be the same, kind of the same.
Yeah, I agree. So
you said Kelvin Benjamin. I disagree. That's disrespectful.
Let me get my right. This is the guy. There's always a guy I can't stand. I can't stand a big guy that can't move. I can't stand. He ran a bad. Didn't he run like a 4.6?
He's hurt.
He's hurt. Look at the documents. He's inconsistent. He just has flashes. He's not good. He just has highlights. If you watch a whole season of that mess, it's horrible.
Can we stop this?
No, that's not the scheme.
That's not how the offense in Oregon works. They don't care.
Dennis, read the Orlando offense. You don't have a choice whether you go over the middle or not. The coach calls the play. And if he did a lot of slants, so he did go over the middle. Slants was his second most. But anyway, go ahead.
That's just not how they attack people. It was a homer. It was a little homer. I'll give you that. It was a little homer.
But, I just don't. Tell me what you're saying, that you like Keon Coleman so much.
Big game player, great route tree, can catch in traffic, yards after the catch, and red zone skills. I was stretching some there, but I got at least 4 things in there that I liked.
His 40 is in the 20th percentile of all at, was it for receivers?
Man, some people just don't test well. Like, you're a teacher, you got kids in the class that can't take tests, but when you ask them questions, they know all the answers. Some people just don't test well.
I
can't say what
I really think about that because I might lose my job. No, it's fine. Some people just don't test well. Sometimes, though, I'm going to tell you this, outside of my profession, sometimes the reason why you don't test well is because you're not good at the material. Like, you got all this time, all these coaches to prepare you, and you run a 4.6. He's not. Now, you don't expect too much of it. But at the end of the day, the receiver must win off the line of scrimmage. He must create separation at the top of the route stem, and then he must win at the catch point.
And
give me a grade at each one.
Let me go back up here and find the comment right here. 4.6 guys that are still special. Throw Keon Coleman in there.
The 4.6 guys that are still special are Anquan Boldin.
Book it. That's my guy.
That's over 20 years. That's the last 20. When did he retire?
Hey, I'm just saying, man.
I don't know what T.O. ran. It wasn't 4.6, but it was not great. But I'm talking, I mean, they're not a lot of four. It reminds me of Kelvin Benjamin so much.
Give me a quarterback.
I mean, he is very basic, and he's not the athletic freak that Leggett is. Like, he's just gone. I mean, if you're going to put him in a tight end, maybe if you play him in a big slot that some teams play, you know who is, like, real slow and did all right? Colston. It was very, I don't know if he ran a 4.6, but he wasn't fast.
He was way slower than that. That system also helped him too, though.
Yeah, so I'm saying he's going to need a system too.
And he had complimented. Man, we ain't going back to Jerry Rice.
Yeah, that's too far.
But I'm saying he had a complimentary speedster typically killing that scene as well. So that helps. But I don't know, man. I don't know what you want me to say.
I mean, he's not good at yards after the catch. It's just like we said. I disagree like with we that. Said,
but
if we, the number okay, don't have a good the film, no, if the best thing you have is just being big, or it's contested catches, like, that's not good, because that means, like, if it's 50-50, that means half the time it's not happening.
Just give me a good quarterback, bro.
Yeah.
He's fifth.
You're being a homer.
What? So what? There's nothing wrong with him.
We should have got the guy we need to talk about is A.D. Mitchell. Like,
bruh,
I wasn't impressed. Now, all of his metrics and everything says he's impressive. Half the time, he's not trying. They asked him at the combine, and you know what he said? He said, "I just pace myself." He said, "I never run a route full."
Go full speed. I was going to say, you know, this is funny that came up, because this is the guy. Here's the guy that when he's not getting the ball.
Thank you, Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah, you can definitely tell. Ball ain't coming this way. Thank AD. Now I know.
Yeah, I agree with that. But he does definitely has the potential. But that scares me in a lot of ways. And also, I think that scares me. But then the lesson I learned was when Amari Cooper was in the Raiders and we traded from Dallas, that man jogged almost every route
I used to
that he ever had for the Raiders the year before. And then for Dallas, he went all out. So,
and people call me a hater. And he also faded against certain stylistic corners.
Slay owned him. I give you that. Slay owned him, but I miss him still. I wish he was there. When you have both of them there, you're all right. But, like, so you have dynamic skills. I don't think he's that great in press, but you do have dynamic skills. Cosell likes him a lot, but I have issues with a dude where effort is an issue consistently.
All right. I see your AD Mitchell, and I raise you Ladd McConkey.
Now that, I like him. He's small, but he roasted a lot of SEC dudes. He's a dude.
He's borderline unguardable one-on-one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, the dude got some routes. He got some moves, man. He quick as hell.
We can make the jokes.
And he's tough.
The obvious jokes are there, but he is that. He is that. So you can't, like, a gassed up Cole Beasley, you know, like, It's just he torched these dudes in the SEC, the routes. The obvious comparison is Cooper Kupp. And whether he ever gets to that point, some of that system. But when Cooper Kupp came out, this is what Cooper Kupp was. So I like a smaller guy like that, it's hard to gauge and he could put some weight on because you don't know, like, is he going to only be a slot guy? Is he going to play on the outside? How is he going to use it? Is it going to be like an offense where you can't get 100 catches? But that, I love him. I really like him.
I'll ask this out loud, and I want NFL fans to think about this. Is it really a negative if a guy only plays in the slot in today's game?
Like, no, it's not. Well,
yeah. It used to be. It used to be a thing.
It's negative, but it's a limitation.
Yeah.
It's a limitation.
But if you're one asset you're really good at, I feel like I always hate to compare like Welker and people like that, people that are like at the top of the echelon of their respective position. But as slot receivers go, I mean, that's what Welker was, Danny Amendola, those guys.
Yeah.
And they would line up in that spot almost every single play. And there were times where you just knew it was going to him. And you still
couldn't do anything because off the line.
I feel like Ladd has that same ability. Like he can line up there, you know it's coming, and you still can't stop it. And when he gets the ball, man, if there's space, and that's one thing about today's game that I'm sure Welker and Danny Amendola wish they had when they were coming up, is the amount of space that offenses operate in now. The way they do their route combinations, when guys get the ball underneath, there's nobody within 15 yards of them, and they got room to move and wiggle. Whereas before, it was so compact when they were coming up, other than when they had Randy Moss there to stretch the field. Like, they caught the ball, they typically had to automatically get down because they were about to get hit. Yeah. Somebody like Ladd could really, really make a good career out of it.
And then you got – some people have said Eddie Royal. Eddie Royal was nice, but I think he's better than that. But Eddie ran a 4.39. Like, those guys, to my knowledge, that Edelman and Wes Welker weren't that fast. I'm not saying they weren't fast. I'm saying they weren't that fast. Yeah. So you said what?
Not 4.3 fast, no.
Yeah. They were quicker than fast. As my boy, they need to bring my boy back. What's his name? NFL Network. What's his name? He was with the Giants. I mean, he's with the Raiders. He went to GM of the Raiders.
Oh,
Mayock guy. Mayock. Yeah, I can't think of his name right now. No, somebody tell me his name.
Don't bring. But, I said
Mayock. Oh, I'm sorry. Don't bring that weirdo. But yes, I really like McConkey. Is there anybody else that's like an honorable mention that you are?
Xavier Worthy and Ladd were my honorable mentions.
Jesus. Not somebody that I don't know about honorable mention. Oh, we haven't talked about Brian Thomas Jr. He's worth it. I don't see it. I just think he was in a good offense. I don't see it.
Was he though?
I see Rashad Bateman.
Was he though? Was he in a good offense?
Yeah, but they had the Heisman winner and the damn best receiver. Well, second best receiver in the country.
Third, yeah, but was he in the offense, or was it those two that made
the offense?
Let me rephrase that.
I'm saying
that his part success of it
came from he being not a part of that offense.
He not Jamar Chase to the Justin Jefferson.
No.
And vice versa.
He's like who was the tight end that was related to somebody famous?
Oh, you talking about Jonathan Taylor? Is it Jonathan Taylor?
I forgot who it was, but yeah, anybody can remember.
It's our girl's nephew. It's our girl's nephew. Joy Taylor's nephew.
No. Taylor. I mean when they won the championship.
Oh, when they won the championship.
Was it Jerry Rice or something? But yeah, it's Joy. Did you say Joy? I'm a Hank. Boy,
Joy Taylor was the tight end.
Joy Taylor?
On the LSU. Or
Jason Taylor.
So on his LSU, son. It's her nephew. I think it's Jason's son.
Jason Taylor. Yeah. You said you picking Joy Taylor over. We love Joy. That's too much. You've been looking at Instagram.
No, I said John Taylor and I messed up. So I was thinking of the actual.
Yes, it's Jason Taylor. The greatest defensive back. Yeah, it was Moss's son. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus. No. I know you're on the radio all day, bro.
Man, what? kick rocks. I'm having baseball.
Nobody's ever even said that to him. Right now. She'll even say she's face. Jason Taylor's sister. But anyway.
Nah, Joy Taylor's definitely surpassed Jason Taylor in my Taylor high.
Oh, yeah, for good reasons. I mean, he's long, but I just don't see anything special. There's some guys, Cosell likes him, who I respect the most. But I just don't see it. He's long, but and he strides, but I just don't see anything special.
If you told me a Brian Thomas Jr. or even Jerry Rice's son or somebody like that has potential to be pretty good in today's NFL or steal in the draft, I believe you. I think this wide receiver group has a lot of
depth. Good group.
Yeah, yeah. So like 15 deep. Yeah, so saying he's not neighbors isn't really knocking him because he can still be good. He's just not coming out. He's just not special, which happens. Some guys come out and they're at a third, fourth round grade, and then they turn out to be Hall of Famers. We've seen that plenty of times in the NFL.
That was plenty of times.
So it's not a knock on his ceiling. It's just where he's at right now and how we're evaluating him.
I agree with that. And then the other guy I want to talk about is the red flag king himself, Jermaine Burton. I mean, I think he's filthy. I think he's filthy. Now, will his head be on straight?
Jim,
I like how fast he is, how he breaks off routes. He can win against press coverage. What'd you say?
See, ain't no J-Mo or no Jerry Jeudy, but you know.
Oh, Lord. But yeah, well, wait, not coming out, but he is. But you can't attack fans. You can't
be AB before you're established. Say it.
Yeah. You can't do that. He is kind of like AB a little bit too. I mean, he can do the whole route tree. He's very competitive. You can't bump and run him between the releases and the hands. He's very aggressive.
He might on fight and off quarterback.
He said what?
He might fight your quarterback.
You gotta
be a strong coach to handle that. You can't be a pushover coach.
Now, these metrics, I didn't read everybody's metrics, the stable metrics, the metrics that don't change that PFF does. But his are really good. 92 receiving grade against single coverage. 90 percentile in yards per route run. Single coverage separation, 67. It's not as great as others. Open target, 72%. That's good. Receiving grade versus zone coverage, 95. Like, he just excels at every part of the game that he needs as a receiver. He just mentally is a basket case. And of course, he's not huge, but 6 foot 196 is fine for a receiver. 38.5 vertical, 11.11 broad jump. Now the 40, 4.45. But man, he plays faster than that.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of the guys, and this happens sometimes on receivers. What you see that they test with doesn't show on film. They look faster on film. Some people are just like that. And again, it has to do with some guys are just not good test takers sometimes. That's for you, the evaluator, to figure out which one is true. Is it that 4.5, high 4.5 I saw at the combine, or is it the 4.4, high 4.4 that I'm seeing on film? Like, yeah, that's
and you should always go by the film. And PFF, at my Bible, everybody says, they now have a thing where they track the miles per hour on the guy. Mm. And so they don't release it to the public, but they talk about it sometimes. So how
do we know it's true? They just making up numbers, which is a lot of what PFF does.
It could be. Shut up. You know, NFL next year has the miles per hour. But they were saying basically that Neighbors was clocked at 22 miles per hour. And then that was the fastest, most consistently he hit that mark. And then after that was Worthy, because Worthy stops and starts a lot. But there's something to the way that you play on the field and how fast you can get to, how quickly you can get there, or how much you're used in that way, and then what you're doing on the field. And anybody that's ever run, and I guess in my heyday, I was much better at chasing people or being chased. But when you're on the field and you're actually chasing someone in the heat of the moment, or you're running away from someone, like, I could always run faster in a race than if I'm just running straight up with somebody. Because it's the intensity. It's comparing someone else. It's the adrenaline. So it's a little bit more. So I think I'm always going to go with game speed. But if you got a low score, I'm concerned. And this is not a low score. This is a little bit above average. But like, some stuff is just disqualifying for the level of the NFL. Now I'm joking, because a big receiver, 4.8, would be disqualified for a big guy. You could get away with 4.6, but it's tough. It's real tough.
Yeah. And I mean, there's people I would still take flyers on, regardless.
And Coleman might end up being good. He'd get an NFL weight room and just becomes such a monster. I mean, it
ain't no might be. You know, the first time he catches a pass, I'm tagging you.
Oh, yeah. I just want to know. And remember, Kelvin Benjamin had a great first season, and it all broke down. He ate, yeah, but he kind of ate himself out of the
food,
league.
Man. Yeah, it was the food.
Well, maybe your boy got a food problem, too.
I don't know. I believe in Coleman. I believe in Coleman. So I believe in this. I would say if we're doing classes, if we're grading the entirety of the class and their value, I think this receiving class is second to only the offensive lineman in this draft. That's what I think.
I haven't delved as deeply.
You don't have to delve. I haven't delved at all.
I've just heard things.
The first 25 are studs. Sheesh. I love them all.
Because there's basically like 20 receivers.
It's the deepest offensive line in the draft I've seen since I've been looking at drafts. So I love them all. But you can't go wrong. It'll be warm in this draft.
When it's full, when the draft is full of linemen, it'll be a better draft. But it's also kind of a boring draft when you have to watch it, you know. But it is. In the end, you'll hear those dudes' names called. You'll hear these dudes' names called more than any other people. But it's not as it'll be kind of boring, you know. But when you watch games, you'll hear all these guys forever.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Well,
still Quentin Nelson.
And there's some guys. Gosh, my memory is killing me. There are some guys that when I first started watching, they're still playing. Remember that guard for the Skins at the time, the Commanders, and they let him go to Jacksonville. I think he's at now. I forgot his name.
Sheriff. Man.
Yeah, Sheriff. Like somebody like that, which I knew was gonna be good. It's just been good.
I'm sorry that I know that. I know people are like, what? How does he know that? I'm sorry. I really do like the line, but Sheriff. Yeah, he had the talent, and again, this is typical of the Commanders, but they gave up on them too quickly.
I don't know why.
They're good, so whatever. Yeah,
their drafting actually hasn't been the problem for the most part. Not their problem. It's the management of the play. Yeah. They had the best left tackle of the last 20 years, probably 10, 15.
And there's and still they, some fans out there that say
they didn't treat his cancer. They're great. But anything, anybody else want to talk about before we go?
No. Receiver-wise, like I said, no right or wrong, honestly. They're all talented. They're all good. So, and I believe that most of them are all game changers. Your top 7 or 8 receivers can be game changers.
I agree. Even Coleman could be a game, you know, best case scenario. So, if you listen to this, keep in mind that we do this periodically. Maybe we'll do edge rushers next time. Running backs just seem like a waste of time, unfortunately. I don't think we ever got to corners last year.
If we do running backs the entire time, I'm going to remind you that you said they don't matter. So why are we doing this?
I wouldn't even do them. But don't forget to rate and subscribe on iTunes or follow on Spotify. You can join the IB Sports Group or the IBN Sports Group. And you can follow this Facebook page at facebook.com/Econobomb. Rate and subscribe. Everybody, have a good one.
Peace.